Good morning, First Baptist Elon. Thank you for joining us this morning on this cold winter Sunday morning, joining us online today. I pray that you are staying safe and warm as this winter weather has descended upon the South. I saw someone post on Facebook just the other day. They said, isn't this kind of crazy when we call this a big winter storm and we got maybe 2 inches of snow here in North Carolina? But I pray that you are staying warm and safe at home this day. But I'm thankful that you've decided to join us online this morning on Facebook Live for our morning worship service. Our parking lot still has some significant patches of ice, so we wanted to be more safe than sorry this day as we gathered for worship. So thank you for joining us online today. And thank you for, first off, I want to say thank you to our deacons who got the word out to all of our church folks yesterday about the change in schedule for today. I do want to apologize. We weren't able to get the listing on WFMY News 2, which we normally do. We're going to have to do some work with them about getting the code up to date. So, but thank you for our deacons for getting the word out to everyone and the email that went out. And again, we're thankful that you're joining us online. I'm just watching people join just a few minutes ago on my phone prior to the worship service. So again, we're thankful that you're joining us this morning. I do want to remind you, for those that are watching today, that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can find the worship bulletin for today, and we want you to be fully participating as you're sitting at home. So it may require you to stand up a little bit, stretch your legs when it's time to sing. We want you to be fully participating in our worship service this day. I do want to share that we will not have any ministries this afternoon or this evening. Our church council meeting that was supposed to meet this afternoon at 4 o'clock will be rescheduled for next Sunday at 4 p.m. So just a reminder to our ministry team leaders, I hope you'll be able to attend next Sunday afternoon or have somebody from your team present for that meeting. I do, looking ahead to the other things coming up this week, reminder, Tuesday night we continue our online Bible study, the Gospel of John. This Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live, we will turn our attention to Jesus' encounters with Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman found in John chapters 3 and chapters 4. So I hope you'll join me at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live on Tuesday night. Of course, the study guides will go out on Monday and be found on our website as well. Reminder that Wednesday, choir rehearsal at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, our book chat group, our book club group will meet at Barnes & Noble at 11 a.m. So lots of things coming up during this week, but no afternoon activities or evening activities tonight. Again, a reminder, during the month of January, our missions in gathering, we're collecting items for the Burlington Animal Services. So thank you to those who have already brought items and dropped off those items around the church. You can continue to do so during the month of January. The items specifically needed for those for that gathering can be found in your bulletin or can be found in your January newsletter. This morning, we gather to sing praise to our God and King. Now, if you're gathered at home, again, I want you to say, be fully participatory. So I want you to stand up. I want you to stretch your legs, whether you're wearing your pajamas or you're fully dressed this morning. I want you to stretch your legs, get up, let's sing, and lift praise to our God and King this day.
Our first hymn this morning is How Firm a Foundation. Let's stand. sit down.
This morning, our opening scripture reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Listen to these words of the prophet. "But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." As we listen to the words of the prophet this day, we can know that he stands for us. He guides us. He protects us in this moment. Let us pray this morning. God of strength, God of love, surround us with your love this day. Gather us in as your beloved children. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to the power of your transforming love. May your waters of grace pour over us, renewing us for your work in the world. Bless us in this holy time. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is "Shine, Jesus, Shine." Let's stand and sing together.
Oh, no.
seated.
On Sunday, February 9th, we will gather here at First Baptist Elon to celebrate 30 years of ministry for our administrative assistant, Janice Summers. Now, this was originally scheduled for September of this past year, and we had to postpone it because of health reasons, but we are finally ready to celebrate her many years of ministry and hopefully many, many more years of ministry for Janice. Now, we want you to join us for the worship service that morning as Janice and her family will be with us that Sunday morning. And following the worship service, during the worship service, we'll have a few surprises as a part of that as well. But then following the worship service, we'll have a church-wide lunch upstairs in the fellowship hall that will be catered for by the Village Grill, and along with some few choice food items also being brought from our family team. Now, what we need you to do is this. We need you to go ahead and mark the date on your calendar for Sunday, February 9th, and we need you to be here. We also need you to sign up. So as you come back to church this week and next week and the weeks to come, there are sign-up sheets located all around the church. They're in the Sunday school classrooms. They're in the church foyer. They're also in the communication center and upstairs in the fellowship hall. But we need you to sign up because we need to get an accurate, kind of a pretty accurate head count of how many are going to be here specifically for the family team as they prepare the food and let the caterer know about how many we're going to have. But we want to have a full house for our worship service that day. We also want to have a full house for our luncheon upstairs. We have been blessed for many, many years of ministry by Janice, and we want to celebrate with her and her family that day. So go ahead, mark your calendar for Sunday, February 9th, and then be here that Sunday morning as we celebrate 30 years of ministry with our administrative assistant, Janice Summers. Now, at this time, I'm going to have our offertory prayer, but I do want to remind you that was kind of funny as our skeleton crew, our worship team that's here, was preparing and getting ready. We kind of joked that this is a reminder of how back during the COVID days when we had just a small worship crew here in the sanctuary. And I just want to remind you that when we come to our offering time, there's our ways that you can give during this time to get your offering here to First Baptist Elon. And I wanted to point out a couple of those ways, especially on this kind of Sunday where you're not able to gather here in the sanctuary. Also, just during this winter time, this weather is really cold, or we have other winter weather days, a couple of different ways that you can make sure your offering gets here to First Baptist Elon. First thing is you can always mail it here to the church. But when you mail your offering envelopes here to the church, make sure you mail it to First Baptist Church of Elon and to our post office box, not the address here at the church. The post office box is P.O. Box 778, and then, of course, to Elon, North Carolina, 27244. That's one way you can give, bring your offering in to the church. The second way is we have an online giving opportunity. You see this every Sunday morning during the announcement slide, which is called Givelify. If you go to our website, there is a Givelify link there, and all you simply have to do is click on it, and that is one way you can give online here at First Baptist Elon. Of course, you can also drop your offering envelopes off during the week when the office is open, or you can simply bring it next week when hopefully the weather is better and we'll gather back as a church family here in the sanctuary. But those are just a couple ways during this winter season when the weather is cold, when there may be other weather delays or weather issues that may prevent us from gathering here. Those are a couple simple ways that you can give during this winter season. Now at this time, if you'll join me for our offertory prayer this morning. Loving God, you bless us with your love. You know each one of us. We live in confidence and trust, knowing your care for us. We bring these gifts to you this day, our source of life. Use them, we pray, that others may experience your grace and live free from fear through them. We give you all the glory this day. Amen. Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. Again, I want to thank our worship crew that is here today that have gathered to help us make this worship service possible. Obviously, you've seen the individuals up here on stage. Gay Collins, who's running our music today. Thankful for Mark, who came in to play the organ for us, and Sally Farnham, who we did not know was coming this morning until she showed up, got drafted into the choir. So thank you for that. And then back behind the scenes, back in the back this morning, are John Farnham and Jerry Zoden, and then David Farnham came as well. We didn't know you were coming either, David, so I'm preaching to twice as many as I thought were going to be here today. So I'm a little bit nervous. No, just joking. All aside, though, we have a great crew here, and thankful that we can still have worship today. And like I said, I've been kind of watching the Facebook Live feed on my phone, and I think we've got over 30 individuals watching as far as I looked. And John's giving us two thumbs up back in the back. So it's a great, great group gathered to watch us today and to participate in our worship service this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer again this morning before we encounter His Word again today. Let's pray. Loving God, sometimes life seems overwhelming. There's so much happening that we just can't control. We feel like we are drowning. Then we hear Your voice saying, "Don't fear. And remember that Your love supports and sustains us. You are there when we feel overwhelmed. You are there when we struggle. You give us what we need. Help us place our trust in You as we step away from fear and secure into Your source of love. Amen." Again, I want to say good morning for those that are joining us online on this cold, wintry Sunday morning. I again pray for your safety and warmth in this coming days as hopefully this winter weather melts and we were able to return to a more normal routine. You are missed as we gather here this morning. Know that. You may have noticed that throughout the week we've been kind of trying to keep you up to date as we've been keeping an eye on the weather. And we try to do that on a regular basis, and we'll continue to try to do that as the winter months go on. Hopefully this will be the only Sunday that you're unable to attend in person. But hopefully again, you're staying warm with your families at home this day. Of course, during this time, if there's ever an emergency or a need that you have, of course, you can always contact staff members, contact Gay or myself. You can always contact your deacons as well, and we will try to meet the needs that exist at that time. This morning, you may have noticed in your bulletin, or you may have noticed on one of the worship slides or whatever, that the title for my sermon, and you may be thinking to yourself this morning, when you see the title, Dave, if you'll pull up the title for the sermon today, you may, as you look at that title, you may be thinking to yourself, "Well, David, you said last week was Epiphany Sunday, where we remember that the Magi arrived to visit the Christ child." And I did say last week was Epiphany. So how is it possible that there is a sequel to that event? How is there an Epiphany sequel? Everything has a sequel these days. Have you noticed that? In Hollywood, if a movie hits and it's big, they always have a sequel. Whether it's as good as the first or not, or whatever the case may be, there's always a sequel. And so you may be asking the question is, what is the sequel to Epiphany? What is the sequel to the Magi arriving at the in Bethlehem and visiting the Christ child? Did the Magi come back and visit Jesus again? Did they get lost, and did they go travel a little ways and then come back and say, "Hey, Jesus, can you tell us which way to go this time?" Did they show up, because you see the title, Epiphany, the sequel, Jesus' baptism, did they show up 20-some years later when Jesus was being baptized and say, "Hey, do you remember us? We saw you when a child." Does that mean the Magi were present at Jesus' baptism too? And I'll go ahead and answer that for you right now, but that doesn't mean the sermon is over. The answer is simply no. No And no, the Magi did not come back and visit Jesus. They were not present at his baptism. But if we look at the word epiphany, and my hope is that as we look at that general term this morning, you'll understand why Jesus' baptism can be seen as the sequel, epiphany, the sequel. If you define epiphany in a general sense, if you type that word in, you're going to see a lot about Magi visioning Jesus. But if you look at the general word epiphany, the definition says it means a moment of sudden revelation or insight. So epiphany is a moment of just sudden revelation or insight for an individual or for a people group. Now, when the Magi came to encounter the Christ child, to the world, it was revealed that Jesus was not just for the Jewish people, but for all the people, for all nations. It was for the Gentiles as well. It was a revelation moment for the entire world. So there was an epiphany for the world that Jesus did not just come for the chosen people, the Jewish people. He came for everyone. So this morning, as we examine the baptism of Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke and recorded in other Gospels, Jesus' first public appearance, his first coming out party to the world, we will see that the revelation of Jesus' love and our ability to join with him, chosen by the Father, empowered by the Spirit, and the call to serve the world is a revelatory experience for us as well. It's an epiphany moment for the world as well. So just as there was an epiphany for when the Magi came, now there's an epiphany when Jesus was baptized. So this morning, let's examine Epiphany, the sequel, Jesus' baptism. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn along with me to Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22 this morning. Now, all three synoptic gospels that are in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those are what the first three gospels are oftentimes referred to, or the synoptic gospels, synoptic meaning with the same eye. When you compare Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're very similar stories, very similar timeline, oftentimes some word-to-word exact writings that we see in those three Gospels. Now, John is a little bit different. That's why it's not considered synoptic, not with the same eye. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three record the baptism of Jesus. Now, each one of them focuses on a different perspective in their writing about the baptism. And so we're going to focus a little bit more on Luke's account this morning, but I'll be talking a little bit about some of the other ones as well. But if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. It'll be on the screen as well behind me. Follow along your Bibles as we read Luke's account of Jesus' baptism. Now, it's going to start a little bit ahead of it. So you've got to remember, another key person at Jesus' baptism, of course, was John the Baptist. So Luke's account starts with John the Baptist. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all: he locked John up in prison. Now, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, as we learn about Jesus, it is impossible not to learn about his love for us. So this morning, we'll be learning not just about Jesus' baptism, but also about what this teaches us about our baptism. What revelatory moments we have in our lives in love when we learn about Jesus' baptism. So the very first thing that is revealed to us in Jesus' baptism is that through baptism, through our baptism, we too can be joined with Jesus. So why did Jesus need to be baptized? Why did Jesus even bother to be baptized? This is a question that many have been asking for centuries. You and I need to be baptized. We are sinners, and we need those sins washed away. But Jesus is the sinless Son of God. What need does he have to be baptized? While Luke may not spell this out directly in his gospel, the Gospel of Matthew gives us a little bit of a hint to this. In Matthew 3:14, John the Baptist asked exactly the question that we need to be answered. I need to be baptized by you, and instead you come to me. John was acknowledging that he thinks that he should be baptized by Jesus because Jesus doesn't need to be baptized at all. So why did the sinless Son of God come to be baptized? Let me share a story that may help a little in this situation. Many of you have heard the name Corrie ten Boom. Corrie was a Dutch watchmaker and later Christian writer and speaker who worked with her father and other family members to help save Jewish people from the Nazis during World War II by simply hiding them in her home. Now, a little backstory on Corrie's life. Now, Corrie's grandfather, Wilhelm ten Boom, started actually a weekly prayer group back in 1844 in the city of Haarlem near Amsterdam for the salvation of the Jews. This weekly prayer meeting that started in 1844 met amazingly weekly, and it continued uninterrupted until 1944, 100 straight years up to the point when the Ten Boom family were sent to concentration camps for hiding the Jews. One interesting story about Corrie's father speaks to what we need to understand about Jesus this day. When the Jews were forced at a point in the World War II to wear the Star of David as a sign of their Jewish faith during World War II, her father, Caspar, actually lined up with the Jewish people as well to receive a Jewish star, the Star of David, as well. He wore it because he wanted to identify himself with the people for whom he and his family had been praying for and loved all these years. He was prepared to be so completely identified with the Jewish people that he was willing to wear a sign of shame and suffer persecution for the sake of the people that he loved. He did not have to wear the Star of David, but chose to instead. In the same way, Jesus did not have to be baptized. But because he loves us so much, he is baptized to identify himself with us, just as Caspar ten Boom put on the yellow star to identify himself with the Jews he loved so much. Jesus joined himself to us by baptism into the River Jordan. When we are baptized, we are joined with Jesus. 1 Peter 3:21 says this, baptism now saves you. You not as a removal of physical dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a cleansed conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father. We are joined to Jesus, and so through his prayers, we are made clean. It is not the outer dirt that is washed away, but the inner dirt of sin. Lutheran priest Tim Zingel describes baptism as a boarding pass to a life of adventure with Jesus Christ. We are joined with Jesus and given the invitation to get on the plane, to take the boarding pass, and start the adventure of a lifetime. That's just the first thing. The second thing that is revealed to us through baptism is that we are picked by the Father. In Luke 3:22, after Jesus is baptized and the heavens open up, we hear the voice of the Father say, "You, my Son, the Beloved, in you I am well pleased." As one preacher once said, when God is pleased, nothing else matters. Think what is going on inside Jesus' head at this point. Yes, he is the Son of God. He is fully divine, but also he is fully human. He took on the full flesh of humanity. To hear the voice of his heavenly Father at the beginning point of his ministry say, "You, my Son, Beloved, in you I am well pleased." What an overflow of support and warmth. In all the dark days that were going to be ahead, Jesus will be able to look back to this occasion and remember those words. And those words are not just for Jesus to hear. We heard the same thing in the opening scripture passage in worship today. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." You are chosen by the Heavenly Father. Pastor Matt Hoffman says of our baptism, God gave you a name on that day. God said on your baptism day that you are my beloved child, and he does not change his mind. Remember that not just on your good days, but on your awful days as well. Thank God that you are baptized because it means something. Now you might be saying, well, David, I do not really remember my baptism. It was happened so long ago. I vaguely remember the day. I know it happened. How can that be meant to help me in those moments? Well, if you are saying this, then you're missing the point a little bit. I do not remember being born. I have vivid memories of my two sons being born. I remember the time spent with Jennifer in the labor and delivery rooms at the hospital as we waited for Samuel and Luke to arrive. But I do not remember my own birth at all. Now, if I had not been conceived, never come out of my mother's womb, I would not be standing here talking to you today. So being born was quite a significant event for me. Yet I do not remember a thing about it. As I said, I remember my two sons' births, even though they will not either. We may not remember the details of our baptism, but somebody more important remembers. God remembers your baptism. God gave you a name on that day, and that name is Beloved Child. And he does not change his mind, and he does not forget. You're joined with Jesus, and you're picked by the Father. The third thing that is revealed to us at baptism is that we are empowered by the Spirit. Luke's gospel places a huge emphasis on the Holy Spirit. As a third century Bible teacher, Origen, said, "Christ is born, the Spirit is his forerunner. Christ is baptized, the Spirit bears him witness. Christ is tempted, the Spirit leads him up. Christ ascends, the Spirit fills his place." All throughout Luke's gospel, everything that Jesus does, the Spirit is there. John the Baptist predicts one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then after Jesus is baptized, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down. You cannot miss the connection here in the Gospel of Luke's account. And it's not just that, ooh, look at that, the Holy Spirit happened to come down. And a few verses earlier, Jesus was baptized. No, Jesus is baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down. They're connected. Like at the waters of the flood, when it was a dove who showed that Noah was safe, so too at the waters of baptism, it is a dove that shows the presence of the Holy Spirit. The same is true at our baptisms. We are baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down. But I want you to notice something that we see only in the Gospel of Luke. Luke says that it is after Jesus was baptized and while he prayed that the physical manifestation of the Spirit comes. Not in the middle of the baptism, but afterwards. A few seconds, a few minutes, who knows how long, yet after Jesus was baptized and in the state of worship, does he experience the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We are baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down. For some, they will never know a time since their baptism when the Spirit was not present. Yet for others, and for most of us, it is sometime after that we are baptized that we experience that manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's seconds, maybe it's minutes, maybe it's hours, maybe it's days, or even years. But it does occur. Being baptized is a bit like having a tap put into your bathroom. A tap is a rather essential piece of plumbing. It makes a room into a bathroom. Think about it. But you still have to turn it on. Imagine having a bathroom that's been there for 80 years, and there's a tap in it, but it's never been turned on. And during that time, during that 80 years of time, the tap for the sink, the shower, or the bath is never turned. Could you really call it a bathroom? Could you really call it a room that has taps in it, or what, that's been put to use? The answer is no. It's a moot point. In the same way, imagine someone who is baptized, and yet the tap of the Holy Spirit is never turned on. Can you really call that individual a Christian, or is it a moot point? Often, when we look at great Christians of the past, John Wesley, Martin Luther, Ignatius of Loyola, Martin Luther King Jr., Billy Graham, they seem to have fire in their bones. But unfortunately, what we often seem to have in our bones is not often fire, but something far less. Pastor Daniel Akula stated this: if we are not just here for entertainment, if we want to be great, to have fire in our bones, we need to turn the tap on full to let the Holy Spirit flood into our lives. Priest Tim Zingel described baptism as being like a boarding pass to a life of adventure with Jesus. What good is a boarding pass if you do not get on the plane? I apologize. So we're joined with Jesus, we're picked by the Father, and we're empowered by the Spirit. But that's not all. Finally, the last thing that we learn that is revealed to us at baptism is that we are sent out to serve. Jesus' baptism marks the start of his ministry. God reveals him to the world. Now John's ministry will come to an end, and Jesus' ministry begins. In the same way, our baptism is meant to mark the start of our ministry for God. Martin Luther describes the moment of baptism as our ordination into the priesthood of believers. Christianity is a plane on which there are no passengers. You have been given a boarding pass because you have a job to do. I can look into your eyes and tell you, yes, you. God has a job for you. You may think you just turned up for the ride or just turned up to watch what's going on. There are no passengers on this plane. God has a job with your name on it. Baptism is meant to mark the beginning of your ministry. Your ministry. Not someone else's ministry. Your ministry. The question is, are you ready to go out and serve? In closing this morning, I end with a quote from one of the pastors I've already quoted earlier in the service. Pastor Matt Hoffman. Pastor Hoffman says this. He describes the miracle of Jesus' baptism with heavenly voices and the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and he used one simple word. Wow. Wow. I think we would all echo that if we were there that day. But then he goes on to say this. What happened in your baptism is no less a miracle by any means. When you were baptized, the same thing was said by angels in heaven, by the people in present that day. They said, wow, your baptism was filled with Jesus and connected you to him. Your baptism was witnessed by your heavenly Father, and he responded just as he did with Jesus that day. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. Your baptism was filled with the Holy Spirit and marked the start of his work in your life and your work for him. What an amazing epiphany. It's not just the sequel for Jesus, but it's also the sequel for you. What are you going to do about it? Let's share it with the world. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for revealing your Son Jesus to the world in such a profound and prophetic way, a way that we can follow as we enter the waters as well. And thank you for connecting us with him, for empowering us with the Spirit, for allowing you, calling us your beloved child, and giving us a purpose to go out and change the world. Father, we thank you this day that we can reconnect with our baptism every single day, every single week, every time we see someone else enter the baptismal waters. And Father, for that we give you thanks. And may we continue to have this revelation be seen by the world. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we conclude our worship service today, we're going to sing one last chorus. And as we think about this, I want to encourage you while we sing this chorus to think about your baptism. Think about how it changed your life, because it should have. And think about that tap of the Holy Spirit. Is it turned on? If it's not, maybe you need to do a little bit of turning today. Let's stand and sing this morning. Again, we want to thank you for joining us for worship this day, virtually and online, and we look forward to you gathering back with us in person next Sunday. Again, we hope you have a safe week ahead. If you need anything, please don't hesitate to contact us. Many ministries are taking place this week ahead, so join us when you can. Go in peace.